Okay, good morning. We are starting a new perek. Today we're doing Moed Katan Daf Yudalit. The shiur is sponsored by the Bamzers and OMO Construction. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaya. So we're starting a new perek. All right, this perek, we're not going to be dealing much with the malachos of Chol HaMoed, but a couple of other issues regarding Chol HaMoed, and then this perek mostly, or at least largely, is about other things like Avelus. This is the main source in Shas for the halachos of Avelus going to be in this perek. Okay, Mishnah, we're on the bottom of Yigimel HaMebeis, a few lines up. Elu Megalchim B'Moed, the following people are allowed to get haircuts on Chol HaMoed. It obviously implies that there is an Isir against getting haircuts on Chol HaMoed, and that the following are going to be exceptions. Habami Medina Sayyam, somebody who comes in from overseas, from traveling, and presumably the point being that they would have had no opportunity while away, and so they come in, and I guess they come in on Chol HaMoed, and so we let them get a haircut. Humi Beis HaShivya, or somebody released from captivity, similar kind of a thing. Hayotzi Mibeis HaAsurim, somebody released from prison, same kind of a thing. In other words, these are all examples of people who could not have taken haircuts, and this is the first opportunity, and it's Chol HaMoed. Behamenuda Shehitira Lo Chachamim, somebody who is in Nidui. Happens to be Nidui is going to also be a big issue here in this parak. Nidui, very very unfamiliar institution to us. I mean, we don't have that so much. So in any case, somebody in Nidui presumably also has a restriction against haircutting. Shehitira lo chachamim, and we're going to talk in the Gemara about what that expression means, but. But he's going to be one of the exceptional cases. He's allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. And v'chein mi shenisha l'chacham v'hutar, or somebody who had a neder against haircutting, against, I don't know, a neder or a shvua, not to cut his hair, and then was nisha l'chacham, did a hataras nedarim on Chol HaMoed, and this is the first opportunity to get a haircut. V'hanazir, or Nazir, of course, can't cut his hair on his head until the termination of the Nazirus. And so the Nazirus ended on Chol HaMoed. So the procedure requires being shaved. V'ha Metzora, same kind of a thing for a Metzora. That's the rules of Tzaras. That's also going to be relevant, actually, here in this parak. The rules of Tzaras, of the Metzora. Also, as it says in the Chumash, it says Rosho Ye Parua, he's not allowed to cut his hair, and that at the end of the tzaras, at the end of the procedure, he has to cut all of his hair. And then there's something a little bit unclear about what the girsa here is in the Mishnah. Hola mituma so letahara so is finishing up. Then either the Nazir or the Mitzora or both are finishing up their tzaras, or in the Naziris, it's even possibly referring to a Nazir Shenitma, who also has to shave in order to restart the Naziris. In any case, these are all situations that all have in common, that they're exceptions because of the circumstances that warrant the exception, because this is the first opportunity. And then the next rule, the Elu Mechabsim B'Moed, the following people are allowed to do their laundry on Chol HaMoed. Habami Medina Sayyam, this list is going to look very familiar. Habami Medina Sayyam, somebody who comes in from overseas, Beis HaShivya, from released from captivity, Hayotim Beis HaSurim, somebody released from prison, Hamanuda, Sheyitir Al-Chacham, somebody in Nidui, presumably Nidui also comes with a restriction against laundering, against wearing freshly laundered clothes, I guess. Shehitira lo chachamim, whoever was released. Bechemi shenisha lo chacham behutar, same thing, person had taken some kind of a neder, a shvua, something against laundering. Okay. Can and but did a hataras nedarim nishal lachacha means they did a hataras nedarim vehutar and they were released from that restriction. Okay, in all these cases they're allowed to do laundry. Now some new cases. Mitpachos hayadaim, mitpachos hasaparim, and mitpachos hasapag. The washcloths, the cloths, either like hand towels, that kind of a thing, which constantly get used and need frequent laundering. Mitpachos hasfarim or saparim. We showed them have all different possibilities about how to read that word and what it refers to, but the concept is obvious, and it doesn't matter really what it means. We understand what it is. It's referring to begadim that tend to need frequent laundering. If a beged tends to need frequent laundering, so then that's also in the exceptional case where you're allowed to do the laundry of those things on chol hamoed. It bechosa saparim might refer to the barbers, might refer to svarim themselves. Sapag or svag, it either may be referred to a towel, or the toweler of a bathhouse. But in any case, you have to wonder. I mean, if you're not allowed to be getting haircuts, so then they're not getting a lot of business. On Chol HaMoed, they don't really have that much free. Okay. In any case, or also hazavin vehazavas vehanidos vehayoldos v'chol ha'olam ituma letahara. These are also cases. Zavin, zavos, nidos, yoldos. Maybe the pashtus of this Mishnah is that because they also are likely to soil the begadim often, and then so you're going to need frequent launderings. Or maybe it's specifically referring to these are cases where they need to wash the clothes for purposes of their tahara. From tuma to tahara, it's like they have to wear libunim.
Today we said underwear.
Yeah. So then, presumably, that would be like underwear. In any case, you have to see, halacha l'maisa, how the poskim would apply these klalim to our world. In any case, it says in the final line of the Mishnah, v'sha'ar kol adam asurim. All other cases are forbidden to have the hair cutting as well as the laundering. Okay, Gemara. Sha'ar kol adam maitai masurim. Why aren't people allowed to do those things? Why can't you get haircuts? Why can't you launder your clothes? So if we suggest that, well, that's clear. It's because it's a malacha. Haircutting is a malacha, and laundering is a malacha. And so maybe that's why. But we know that that can't be. Because it certainly would be permissible to do these malachas letzarech hamoed. Or, as somebody was shown in Bright, it's a matter of simcha. Personal comfort is also a matter of simcha that's justifiable on Chol HaMoed. To look nice is mutter. So you wouldn't have the Isur Malacha as the obstacle. So why are you not allowed to get haircuts on Chol HaMoed, and why are you not allowed to launder clothes? Kiddushnan, the Gemara itself answers. It's like what it says in the Mishnah and Tanis that we learned a while ago. Anshe Mishmar v'anshe Mamar Asurim l'saper l'chabes. The people who are responsible for that week's Mishmar or Mamar, and we learned that when we learned Tanis what those things were, they're not allowed throughout the course of that week. They're not allowed to get haircuts or to launder their clothes. V'chamishi mutar mipnei kvod Shabbos. Except on Thursday, you have a special heter for kvod Shabbos. So that's what the Mishnah says about the Mishmaros and the Ma'amaros. But V'yamar Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rabbi Elazar. But Rabba Bar Bachana quoted from Rabbi Elazar, Mai Taima, what's the reason that this is forbidden? Kedei Shelo Yikonser L'Mishmartan Kishehen Menuvalim. Because we don't want them to wait to the week of their mishmar in order to take care of those things, to do to launder their clothes, to get haircuts. We want them to start the mishmar already cleaned up, already with their haircut and with their clothes clean. And so the tendency, I guess, would be to take advantage of the Chol HaMoed, take advantage of the mishmar. Don't 100% understand why, but at least by putting this ban in place, it kind of compels them, compels people to take care of these things beforehand, to think ahead. So, Afanami, Kadeshali, Kansula Regel, Kishen Menuvali. Okay, this is the reason that you're not allowed to get haircuts or launder clothes in Chol HaMoed, not because of the Yisr Malacha, but because the Chazal forbade it, because they want to make sure that you take care of these things before the Regel starts. Okay, so it's an Issa Derabanan. Boy, Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira asked the following question. Avda lo aveda erev haregel. Rabbi Zeira is asking, look, we see that the Mishnah had all kinds of exceptions, right? So, and the general rule is that you're not allowed to get haircuts or to launder your clothes, but if there's an exception, then you're allowed. So what was the common characteristic of the exception? Presumably it was a situation where, well, it's the first opportunity that you had. So what happens if you had a personal situation? For example, avda lo aveda erev harega. Let's say you lost something important, erev yantif, and now everybody's busy or you're busy looking for it, and it took up all your time, and your whole erev yantif went by, and you couldn't take care of that haircut or the laundering that you had planned to do, and now it's chol hamoed, it's your first opportunity because you got stuck. Kimen de anis mutar, o dilma kimen de lo mukhamilsa lo. Well, on the one hand, Rabbi Zeira was asking, well, the fact is that this was your first opportunity. But on the other hand, nobody would realize that. So it's not as if it's clear it's not like the more public examples of where you came home because you were in captivity for a while or you came back to town, where these are public, or at least more public things, at least in their world. So he was asking that question. Amar Abaye responded that you can't take advantage of that, and you're not going to be allowed to take care of this haircut or the laundering because of the following consideration. Yomru kol hasreken asurin usriki baisus mutarim. This is an expression from the Gemara Psachim that refers to a halacha that the Chazal forbade you when you're baking your matzos. The Chazal forbade you from imprinting any designs on the matzah. You bake your matzah, and you need the dough, you shape it, you bake it, and that's it. And you can't decorate the dough. That's what the rule is. So there was an enterprising guy who had a stamp with the design on it. So he would just stamp on the dough, and then that was it. So obviously their whole point was, if you're going to make designs in it, then it's going to be sitting around for a while before you bake it, and that's going to turn into chametz. So they don't want you to, that's an unnecessary delay. So if a guy has a stamp, so then you can put a design on it and take no time. So he wanted to be allowed to make the design. So they told him, no, we can't make exceptions for you, because the minute we make an exception for you, Yomru, people are going to see what you're doing, and they're going to say that the rabbis are okay with it, and they're going to say, kol asreken asur, and everybody else who wants to make the design, not allowed to. But you have special sreke baitos mutarim, but you had special permission. What's with you? I guess I'm going to be allowed to as well. And then the whole rule will fall apart the minute you have the exceptions. So this is normally the basis for an argument called lo plug rabbana, that the Chazal, when they make their prohibition, they don't make distinctions. And then they make the prohibition categorical, even in cases where in an individual situation, you could understand why an exception ought to have been made. It should have been allowed, but they impose a prohibition categorically without exception. So this is not exactly how it's being used over here. Abaye is saying, look, I understand there are exceptions. There are all these exceptions on the Mishnah, but you have to be sensitive to the fact that if people don't understand, they don't know your individual situation, then you can't take advantage of the heterim that are prescribed only for more public anusim. So the Gemara asks, well, hold on a second. That can't really be true, because according to your analysis, this is the Gemara asking against the Baye. Hadi Amar Rabbi Yasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mi She'ein Lo Ela Chaluk Echad, Mutar Lachabso B'Chol Shel Moed. Wait a minute, but don't you know that Rabbi Yochanan permits somebody who only has one beged to be allowed to wash that beged during Chol HaMoed? So according to you, he shouldn't be allowed, because the prohibition should not tolerate this exceptional case. The Gemara answers, well, But that's pretty public. You know why? Because Hasam Name Yomru, the kasha is the same kasha. Hasam Name Yomru kol asrika nasur nasrika baisus mutarim. The Gemara answers, Abaye responded, Hoyit mar ala, amar mar baravashi. But there's really no difficulty here, because Mar Baravashi explained that the only reason we're permitting that guy is because Ezo Ro Mochiach Alav. Because while he's standing there in his underwear, washing his only one clothes, because he only has one baguette, so that'll become obvious to people that this is all he has. So that'll be understandable. Okay, Ravashi Masni the following. Ravashi has the following tradition. Boy, Rabbi Zera, Uma Nishavdalo Aveda Erva Regel Mahu. Similar kind of a story, just at a slight difference, which is, what if it's not just a private person was running around before Yontif looking for something? He was the town Uman, and everybody needed the town Uman on Erev Yontif. And the Uman is the guy who either gives the haircuts or, provides provides necessary services for the community. So everybody was hanging around with this place. And they see the guy is running around looking for something, and he's not able to take care of them. And they say, no, we need you to take care of us, so we could. So anyway, what if it's that situation where you have, it's not an actual category, but at the same time, it's a somewhat public awareness of this guy's individual situation. So Uman Shavdalo Aveda Erva Regel Mahu. Given the Uman who Mukha Milsa, or Dilma Kiran Dilo Mukha Milsa Kihanach, lo. So that's what Rabbi Zera was wondering. What about this guy? Can you consider that public enough to be allowed to take in one of the exceptions or not? So Gemara finishes Teku. That question is unresolved. We don't have clarity on that. Makes you wonder what to do in Teku cases like this. Normally you should say that a Teku means it remains a Safek. So if it's a Safek on a matter of Durabanan, so it should be Mutter. But on the other hand, some of the postgames, some of the Rishonim write that even though Tekus should be treated like Safeks and Sfeika Durabanan should be Lakula, but they don't really like to do that for Tekus. And I don't remember if the Shulchan Aruch says Lachmer in this. I think that it's Machmir in this case. Okay, the next Mishnah had a next case. Bami Medina Sayam, somebody who came in from overseas. So here's what the Gemara says. Masnisin, the Stam Gemara is saying the following. This Mishnah, you should just know, is not unanimous. Delo Rebbe Yehuda. It's against the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Desanya, because there's a Braisa that says, Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Haba mi Medina Sayam lo yigaleach, mepnei sheyatza shelo brishus. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have permission to get a haircut when you arrive in Chol HaMoed, or let's say even right before the regel from Medina Sayam, because mipnei sheyatza shelo brishus, because you had no permission to leave. That's at least the way it looks. Sounds like this Rashi here on the page has a different way of saying yatza shelo brishus.
No cruises.
But Well, we have to see. That's what it sounds like. It sounds a little bit like no cruises. But in any case, Rashi says a different thing. That he always had the option. Shelo brishus, meaning because he wasn't compelled, he wasn't restrained, that kind of a thing. But anyway, the point being that Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get permission if you come in from overseas because yatza shelo brishus. Yatza shelo brishus. So what you have to understand is that even though when we read this Mishnah, we're figuring it just means anybody living in Passaic who was away and came back. What does that mean? Shiyotza shelo brishus. I mean, unless it's like what this Rashi here on the page is saying about how, well, because you could have chosen a different time to come in and you gave yourself no time. But others say it's a different thing. It's referring to if you're in Israel and you went into Chutz La'aretz, and now you've arrived back at Israel, what gave you permission to leave? What gave you permission to leave Eretz Yisrael? So Yatzah Shelo Birshus. So now we're going to qualify. So it looks like this is a very broad machlokas. People who arrive on Chol HaMoed or arrive right before Yantif, and they have an opportunity to get a haircut until Chol HaMoed, do they have the heter or not? Our Mishnah says yes. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says no. It sounds like it's a very wide machlokas. Amar Rava.
He actually think seems to be more of a personal thing. Because somebody gets out of prison, I guess, is more of a fanfare that he got out of prison. But somebody just gets off the boat after spending 2 weeks, crossing the Atlantic. That's the same thing as a private person who has his own reason why he shouldn't do it. It's not like a public.
Yeah, in our world, it's really hard to believe that we would have created that category. I mean, how does anybody know when anybody was flying out, flying back, they went away, they're back, and it's really hard to know.
Right. Well, then there's like a ship that comes
in
once
what,
every...
Today you just get on the cruise ship.
So it could be that,
yeah. And it was a big fanfare, people stepping off the boat.
It could be like that. I mean, like Mark Twain describing the Mississippi River in the early days when a steamboat would come by and the whole town would come out. Maybe. I don't think it was exactly the same, but at least in our world, we wouldn't have created this this category. Okay, so in any case, look what Rava does here. Rava says, well, hold on a minute. Why did the person go? Lashut, because Rabbi Huda said it all had to do with his decisions, right? So Amar Rava, Lashut. Did the guy go just Lashut? I mean, Lashut is what we would say just on vacation. Just for recreation, for entertainment, for relaxation. Divrei Yakol Asur. So, of course, everybody would agree, even our Mishnah, would not permit you to get a haircut under those conditions because you scheduled your return time for Chol HaMoed or for Erev Yontif right in the afternoon, so you had no opportunity. That's your own business and you have no permission. Limizonos, Divrei Yakol Mutter. If you did it because that's how you survive, that's how you live, so then Divrei Yakol Mutter. Then even Rabbi Huda would consider you have permission to leave and then wouldn't hold it against you. Which means like for business. So one of the Tanoi, Medamili Kilashut, Umar, namely Rabbi Huda, considers, well, you went away for business, that's the same as going for recreation. Umar Medamili Kilimizonos. And Tana of our Mishnah treats it like, yeah, that's a good reason, and therefore you would be allowed. So it's a very tiny machlokas between Rabbi Huda and the Tana of our Mishnah. According to this. So wait a second. Now the Gemara goes a kind of a convoluted argument here against Rava. Meisave, but they asked the Kasha against him from the following. We have a Bryce that says, I'm a Rebbe. Rebbe says, makes the following comment about Rebbe Huda and about the Tana of our Mishnah. Nirin, which usually means I would endorse, in other words, it seems reasonable to me, Divi Rebbe Huda kishayatsa shelo bershus. It would seem to me that we should follow that Rabbi Huda is right in a case where the person came in Medina Sayyam after having gone Shalom Bershus. What's Shalom Bershus? Namely, we'll see. B'dir b'chachamim, but the Mishnah, that Shita Kishayatza Bershus. Okay, so now the Gemara says, well, what was Rabbi thinking here? That there's a machlokas, but he personally sees Rabbi Yehuda sometimes, and Rabbanan sometimes. So how does that work? Let's see. My Shalom Birshus. So what did he mean when he said, well, I'll follow Rabbi Yehuda if he went Shalom Birshus, I'll follow the Chachamim if it's Birshus. Ilema Lashut. What was the case? He went on vacation. But you just said everybody agrees that if it's vacation, Asr. So he doesn't have to weigh in on that. Having an opinion about that, there was no dispute. So what are you going to say? That he was going away from Mizonos? But according to you, Rava, you said that everybody agrees that if it's Mizonos, there's no machlokes. So he doesn't have to weigh in on that either. So obviously it means like this middle ground. But if it's the middle ground, then he didn't say anything. Then he just said, well, which way did he say? I see Rabbi Huda's side or I see Rabbanan's side. He didn't say anything then. He just said both sides. But my brishus. So then, same problem. We just express it all the reverse way. But then look at the second thing of what he said. My brishus. But we just said everybody agrees that's mutter. Laharvacha must be. So then now it must be like this. If it's harvacha, that means that's where he personally sees the chachamim shita. But he just said a second ago that he follows Rabbi Yehuda's shita, and that was the only case that they argued about. So therefore, this is what the Gemara shows You see from the Brice about what Rebbe commented about the Machlokas that he's not understanding the Machlokas the way you, Rava, interpreted. Because Rava was the one who took the whole Machlokas and collapsed it down to a single slice, a single case where they had a Machlokas. And then Rebbe would have had nothing to say about that. He couldn't have just said, well, I see partly Rebbe Yehuda, partly Chachamim, even within that narrow slice. So that's the problem. So the Gemara says, it looks like from that price against Rava. The Gemara says, here's what you have to understand. Rebbe wasn't, this Nirin does not mean Nirin the way it normally does, like I personally endorse. That's not what it means. It means like this. Nirin divi Rebbe Yehuda l'Rabbanan, kishayatza shilo b'rshus. All Rebbe is saying is exactly what I said. He's saying that the other side sees your point. In other words, the Rabbanan agree with Rebbe Yehuda, kishayatza shilo b'rshus, when you had no justification for your trip. But if you're going on vacation, modele. So that's how he understands that line. And then the same in the reverse. And even Rebbe Yehuda, this is Rebbe now clarifying that Rebbe Yehuda doesn't dispute with Rabbanan about Yatzah Birshus, Mainu Mazonos. Shafilu Rebbe Yehuda lo nechlek alav el alarvi chavala mazonos module. So Rava said, on the contrary, the way I'm reading the Braisa about Rebbe's statement, it's exactly what I'm saying, is that in most of the cases there is no machlokas, it's only in that middle case. Okay. New rule. Amar Shmuel, katan hanolad b'moed. Shmuel the Amora tells us the following. Katan hanolad b'moed. You're going to see the same exact thing presented like in another form on the other Amma base. Katan hanolad b'moed. What if you have a baby born over Chol HaMoed? And the baby, normally they don't have much hair, but this particular kid has a lot of hair, and you want to trim the hair on the head of this kid on Chol HaMoed, who was born on the Chol HaMoed. So what's the rule? So Shmuel says, Mutar l'galayach b'moed. Why does he say you're allowed? She'ein lach beiso asurim gadol mizeh. Because, and then whenever the Gemara does something like this, it says, Ein lach expression, gadol me this case. So normally it's not exactly a euphemism, but really what it means is that we have good reason to think that this should be treated like that also. So just that it exaggerates it as this is the strongest example of that phenomenon. So it's saying over here, look, you just said if somebody's released from prison, that he has permission, or on the moment, permission to get a haircut. So this baby is born, he's just released from prison over the Yontif. Was it confined? His confinement in the uterus, and now he comes born. Okay, so anyway, point is that Shmuel, interestingly, he says, look, even though it's not prison, he wasn't released, it was something like it, the argument should follow that it should be the same, it should be treated the same way as being released from prison. In other words, what? The person who was confined had no opportunity, had no way to do it, and then was released, and it's an objective thing rather than just your own personal... you could say the same, yeah, because when I'm out preoccupied on Friday, I was running around, I couldn't get around to it, so in a certain sense, I was confined by time. Okay, but you can't do that kind of analysis on your own. But the Gemara says, Shmuel says that you could apply that to the baby being born. The Gemara is not comfortable with this. Not because they think that it's an inappropriate use of the kula, but on the contrary, it's saying it's an inappropriate chumrah. Namely, what? The Gemara says, what did you mean? B'moed in b'ikar lo? And what if this kid was born a month ago? And now, when Chol HaMoed, we look and we see this kid needs a trim. You're not going to let the kid get a trim. You're not going to be allowed to trim the hair of the kid. He's an infant. So what exactly is the objection? So he's an infant. So what? So the Gemara says, so that's going to make a problem with respect to a different halacha. Let's take a look. Masi Rav Pinchas. Pinchas said that's impossible because of the following. Because we have a braisa that says this. The braisa says, Kol elu she'amru mutar legalef b'moed, mutar legalef b'mei evlo. Because Reb Pinchas says the Braisa puts a connection between Chol HaMoed and Avelus. And you can't get haircuts during Avelus, and you can't get haircut during Chol HaMoed. But the people that are mentioned here in our Mishnah that if you're allowed to get the haircut in Chol HaMoed because you're an exceptional case, so during Avelus, that would also apply and you'd be allowed to get a haircut. In other words, the exceptional cases carry over to the Avelus also. So what's so bad? What's the problem? Well, here's the problem. The Gemara does the following illegal inference. It says, but ha'aser legalech b'moed ha'aser legalech b'mei evlo. But if you don't have a heter, you don't have permission, if you're not one of the exceptional cases, then of Chol HaMoed, then during Avelus, you would similarly also not have permission to get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. This is an illegal, logical inference, but nevertheless, b'yemei evlo. But if it's true, if we accept that, then v'yamrit, katan isbe plukta. If you're going to tell me that it matters when the katan was born, plukta means a differentiation, a distinction. If you're going to make a difference that if it matters if the katan is born on the regel or before the regel, I have the opportunity, so then it's going to come out that you're going to not give the katan permission of just because he's a katan, you're not going to give him permission to get a haircut? Nimtzeis avelus nohages b'katan. So it's going to come out that you're imposing the restrictions of avelus on a katan. So what's so bad about that? V'hatania, but we know that that's not true because there's a braisa that says, mekarin l'katan mipnei agmas nefesh. If a person dies and there are children among the immediate family, so it says here you tear their clothes. You tear their clothes, you do kriya on the kid, mitnei agmas nefesh, because it'll be very poignant, it'll be kind of emotionally powerful for other people to see the little kid with torn clothes, and it's considered kavod hames. But what's very obvious is that we're not doing it because of any actual avelus requirement of the kid. There's nothing to do with the kid. The kid has no avelus requirement. So you see from this line that there's no avelus for katan, even though there's no mitzvahs generally for katanim, but there's chinuch. But so this is taken as the policy. There's no chinuch for avelus. We don't do chinuch for Avelus, and there are different reasons that are given why. But one simple reason is because chinuch is in order to get the kid used to the activity as a gadol, and is not a thing that we want. We don't expect the kid to need to get used to this as a gadol. So in any case, that's the policy. That's why the 9 days is a whole question about how much of Avelus is really real Avelus, and how much of it is a kind of an artificial Avelus. Because they don't want you to give haircuts to kids during the 9 days, even though that's not really going to be, it's not an Avelus thing. So, okay, it's a little bit unclear what the 9 days are like. But anyway, this is the official policy. You don't have Avelus for a cotton. If a cotton is in Shiva, they don't keep Avelus. You just do whatever somebody thinks makes sense. So if that's the case, now you put it all together, and here's what we got to. Because there's no Avelus for a cotton, that's given. Because there's an equation between Avelus and Chol HaMoed, then it comes out that, if you think backwards, it should be obvious that there should be no restrictions of Chol HaMoed on the kid either, and then the kid should always be allowed to get haircuts during Chol HaMoed. You shouldn't have to say that if he's born over the regel. So, Zaravashi responds, well, the logic is wrong. Nikatani Ha'asurim? Did it say in the Braisa itself, this corollary rule, that anybody who's not getting the heter of Chol HaMoed is not going to get the heter of Avelus? No, that was your own inference. Maybe that's false. That's a false inference. Maybe that's not the inverse. That's called the inverse of the proposition. The proposition was anybody who has a heter on Chol HaMoed has a heter on Avelus. The inverse of that is if you don't have a heter on Chol HaMoed, then you won't have a heter on Chol HaMoed. That's not logically valid. So okay, so that's where the Gemara ends up. It leaves the rule that there's no chinuch for avelus, and it objects to Shmuel's distinguishing between born over the regel as opposed to just any cotton altogether. Actually, these other Amorayim presented the whole thing the other way around. Amar Shmuel, katan mutal agach b'moed lo shnar noled b'moed lo shnar noled meyikara. Others have Shmuel made that, exactly that point. He said that any katan, you're allowed to give haircuts on chola moed. And it doesn't matter if he was born on the regel or just because he's a regular katan. Amar Rav Pinchas, so if that's his statement, so now Rav Pinchas comes along and says, you know, I can prove you're right from the fact, and it goes to the same argument just now from the other direction. It says in Brisa, even though it says here Tanina, it's really the wrong word. It should have said like Tanya or Tana. All of those people who have permission on Chol HaMoed to get a haircut also have permission during Avelus, if the situation were equal. But if you don't have permission, then you wouldn't have permission on Avelus also. And if you want to say that a cotton is not allowed to get haircuts, I mean, unless it's that unusual situation being born over the regel, so then nimtzeis avelus nuheges b'katan, then it comes out that you're saying that the katan has to observe avelus rules, v'tanya, but we know there's a braisa that says, mikarin l'katan, yiter the begadim of the katan, mipnei agmas nefesh, only because of agmas nefesh reasons, not because of avelus reasons. So Rav Ashi kind of deflected the proof by saying, well, the proof is hinging on the legitimacy of the inference. Mikatani ha'asurim, the Brisa didn't itself say that the inverse is true. Dilma yesh mehyan asur v'yesh mehyan muter. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch does accept the kula, that the ketanim are allowed to get haircuts on Chol HaMoed. Okay. Now we start a long discussion about these other matters, not Chol HaMoed matters. Avel. Eino noeg aveluso beregel. Avelus. So the avel, if the avel comes in conflict with regel, with the yontif, the chag, and the Chol HaMoed, what are the rules? So it says here, is no observance of avelus during the regel. Sheneemar, this machta bechagecha. Because the Torah mandates simcha. So one thing is very apparent, is that simcha and avelus are mutually exclusive. It's like they're opposites. If the Torah mandates simcha, it's precluding avel, it's precluding avelus. So because the Torah requires v'samachta v'chagecha, then it means to supersede any avelus. So now it says here, well, in either possibility, either even if the avelus began first or if the regel began first. E avelus de meikarahu. If let's say the person was already in avelus and then the regel started, asi yasei de rabim, bedach yasei de yachid. The yantif is going to supersede that avelus. Now the ins and outs of how that's done is going to come up later in the parak. The parak is going to spend a lot of time on that situation, but right now we're just getting the basics. So we know that that's going to mean you cannot observe avelus over the regel. Because why? Because in the conflict between yantif and avelus, yantif wins. Why? So here's the reason why given in our Gemara. It says because the asay de rabim, the asay that's for the whole tzibur, comes bedachi and pushes off asay de yachid, your private mitzvah asay of avelus. Tosis makes the very important comment over here. Really, if you compared avelus to regel, they're otherwise equivalent, if not for the fact that one happens to be for the whole tzibur and one is your own personal one. What about the fact that regel is the oraisa and that avelus is the rabbanan? So Tosis say, okay, you see from here one or the other of two possibilities. Either they're both the oraisa, in which case you have to be holding that some of avelus has to exist the oraisa, that some rishonim hold like that, or that the simcha of the regel is not the oraisa. But the chumash itself says it's not. No, maybe that's only karbanos. It's possible that the fact that it conflicts with Avelus, that is only the Rabbanan. Because the Torah's mitzvah of Simcha may only have to do with bringing Korbanos. But there, so Tosis makes that point. So that if, and Tosis favors the Rabbanans for both. Okay, so that's why, but at the same time, we're still going to make Yontif beat Avelus because Rabbim beats Aseid the Yachid. The Gemara says also the reverse. I Avelus the Hashta who lo Asi Aseid the Yachid v'dachi Aseid the Rabbim. But if the Avelus came in during the Regel, then we're not going to stop the Regel observance, the Simcha of the Regel, just for the Avelus, and we're going to hold off on Avelus. As far as what you do, that's going to come up much later in the parak. Now, new issue. Let's say, forget about Avelus. What about Nidui, a Menuda? Now, we already saw from the Mishnah that it's very clear from the Mishnah that Nidui does not have permission to get haircuts or to wear, to do laundry. So, and there are going to be other rules also. What happens over the Regel? Are they suspended like Avelus rules are? So it says here, Menuda, Maosheina Niduyo beRegel. Amar Rav Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, well, let's see if we can prove it from some source. Tashma, donim dini nefashas dini makos v'dini mimonos. Well, there's a Tosefta that says that you're actually allowed to hold sessions of Beis Din. You're allowed to even try criminal cases and civil cases also, whatever. You can do all kinds of cases. They can function fully on Chol HaMoed. And we know what that means, that you can also presumably enforce the Piskei Din. Ve'ilot Tzayis Din HaMisham Tinan Le. And we know that one of the enforcement methods is Shamta, is Cherem. That the Beis Din can issue an order of Cherem against somebody who's not complying with the dictates of the orders of the Beis Din. So now we're told that they meet even on Chol HaMoed, right? So if you're going to meet on Chol HaMoed, and presumably it means you're going to function fully, and that includes even enforcement, putting it all together, it has to be that the Shamta has to be meaningful. If you're going to say that somebody in Nidui is released from Nidui during the Regel, then Meshumas V'yasimeikara Asi Regel V'dachi, somebody who was already in Shamta is released during the Regel, if that's true, so then what are you going to gain by Hashta Mishamtin and Le'anan? We're going to put the person into Shamta. In other words, how could you expect the Beis Din to function fully? So Amar Le'Abayi. So Abayi says, well, I don't know, maybe it doesn't really mean that they're functioning fully. Maybe it just means that they can hold sessions and they can deliberate. B'dilma Le'yuni B'dinet. And Abayi says, and I think that's very obvious that that's all they're going to be allowed to do, because they wouldn't really be allowed to try a capital crime on Chol HaMoed. How are you going to do that? You're going to actually try a person who's being charged with a crime where it has a death penalty? You mean you're really going to put the person to death on over the Regel? So what exactly is the problem with that? Why is it so obvious that you can't execute somebody on Chol HaMoed? So here's the reason. Listen to this. So what's so bad? You mean it'll take away the person's simcha by killing him?
Yeah. The family, yeah, everybody.
The family and everybody.
Against the other party that was duped out.
Well, no, there doesn't have to be another party. It could be like Chil Shabbos, or it could be like Bazar. So there could be a victimless. Okay, so v'hakam mimnei me simchas yom tov. That's what you're saying, because it's going to go up against the simchas yom tov, but not in the way you think. This sanya, because of the following brisa, which says that you need to know one last little detail about the functioning of the Beis Din. Rabbi Akiva Omer Minayin, you know how you know a Sanhedrin shehargu es hanefesh, that they executed somebody, she'ein tomim kolos ayom, you have to fast the rest of the day. Talmud Lomar, Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. This is one of the numerous derashos that are made from that pasuk, Lo Sochlu Al Hadam. And therefore, like this, put it all together. You're not allowed to fast on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov. If you put the person to death, they're going to have to fast the rest of the day. You're not allowed to fast.
The executor. Or the Beis Din.
So, You can't put somebody to death because that'll put you up against the Simchas Yom Tov. So it must be that when it says in the Braisa that they can hold court on Chol HaMoed, it must mean just for deliberations, but not really to sentence the person. And therefore, it's not to sentence the person, so maybe also not the Nidui, maybe not the Shamta. And therefore, as you have no evidence that the Nidui is in effect, so possibly not. So, So he says to them, wait a minute, but that you can't do that either, because the Beis Din are not permitted to hold off on issuing the verdict. If they've deliberated and they've come to the conclusion that the guy is guilty, you have to execute. You have to give him the sentence, you have to execute. So that'll be a violation of what's called Inui Hadin. Inui Hadin is when they delay the judgment. Delaying the judgment even for hours is considered to be an Inui Hadin. If they've deliberated, if they've voted, if they've determined that the person is guilty, they are required to pronounce the Gemar Din and to carry it out on the same day. So the Gemara says, okay, well, hold on. It's very possible to pull this off without running into any problems. Also, Meit Safra, so they're going to convene in the morning, and they're going to deliberate, and all day long they're going to discuss, and they're going to eat their regular meals. They're going to reconvene in the afternoon, late in the afternoon. And they're going to just sentence him to death, and they're going to kill the person, and they're going to fast for the next few minutes. And that won't be a problem. So if that's the case, then maybe they do. Maybe the Nidui does continue over the regel. So Amar Rabbi, so we have no proof. So that didn't prove anything. Amar Rabbi, Abai says, well, I have another proof. Tashma umenuda sheitir lo chachamim. Abai says, well, we can prove it from our Mishnah. Can't we prove something from our Mishnah? What does it say? What does it say from our Mishnah about Nidui over the regel? So the problem is, well, what does it say? Our Mishnah is a little vague. So Abaye thinks that what's going on in our Mishnah is that Menuda, a person in Nidui, can get a haircut over Chol HaMoed because all Niduis are released on Chol HaMoed, and that's why he has no permission until Chol HaMoed. So that's how he understands. You see, that's the whole point of the Mishnah, is that the Menuda can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed because that's what it says in the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Rava says, that's not what the Mishnah said. Mikatani shahiti ruhu chachamim. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that a menuda can get a haircut because they're all released. Shehitiru lo chachamim katani. The Mishnah is referring to a case of a particular menuda who was particularly released. The azal lepaisi lebaldine. Let's say we're talking about a guy who was put into nidui because of his actions. He went and he apologized and he went and got forgiveness from the other party. The Yasi Kami Rabbanan, they both went to present to the Rabbanan that they say, okay, we've made up the Sharoleh, and they released him from his Nidui, and that's the guy that the Mishnah says that's all it means. So the presumption would be the other way around, that there is Nidui unless over the regal, and suddenly it was an unusual case where the guy was released. So then he has permission. And that's the way it remains. The way the Shulchan Aruch says on this is that Nidui does run over Avelus. I mean, it does run over Regel and Chol HaMoed, so there's no release. Doesn't apply to us. We don't really know anybody observing any Niduis. Okay, but at least in theory. New case, similar. We've worked on Avelus and worked on Nidui. A very similar situation. Tsaras, the Mitzora. The Mitzora, Mausha Yanik Tsaratu Beregel. Does the Mitzora, who, as it says in the Chumash, has to observe all kinds of practices, he has to be away from people, and he's not allowed to wear fresh clothes, as it says in the pasuk, but of Yuprumim, Beroshia Parua, and he's not allowed to get haircuts. Does all of that apply to the Mitzorah during the Regel also, or does Regel supersede that? Amar Abaye. Abaye says, well, let's see if we can prove it. Tashma, Vaha Nazriya Mitzorah. Ha'olami Tuma Sola Tahara. So, it says in our Mishnah that if the Mitzorah is cured and released and becomes Tahar during the Regel, then he can get a haircut. So, what do you see? That the standard mitzvah situation, that the regular mitzvah is not going to have any permission to get a haircut because only the unusual case of the mitzvah who gets released and is tahor on Chol HaMoed has permission. But the regular mitzvah, presumably, is not going to be allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, which is because there's no release from the rules of Mitzora during the Regel. So that's the implication. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. You could possibly read the Mishnah as follows. Lo mi boy komer, lo mi boy be me tumaso, de lo nohig. You might have read the Mishnah as follows. Any mitzora is allowed to get a haircut over the regel, but what if one is in the process of becoming tahor, and that person becomes tahor over the regel? Maybe we should be harder against them, because if you have somebody who became tahor in advance, they might hold off until the regel and then be subject to the same concern that we had about all people generally. We might think that way. So that's what this Mishnah is saying. No. We'll get that person cool also if he was released from Tzaras during the regel. And so maybe the regular Mitzora was never a question. Anyway, that possibility was what was going on over here. But, okay. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't deal with Mitzora. Amar Rava. So Rava says, well, we can prove it from a different case. And this is a little bit convoluted also. Listen to the following. It's a fascinating point. Amar Rava. Rava says, I think I can prove the answer to the question based on the following. Tashma says in the Braisa, V'hatzarua. Pasuk says, V'hatzarua. What does the Pasuk say? The full Pasuk? Hatzarua. Hashebu hanega. Begad of Yiprumim v'rosh yeparua. The guy with Saras, not allowed to get a haircut, not allowed to wear clean clothes. Okay, so what do you get out of that? Well, the Braisa says, you know, that word, v'hatzarua, l'rabos kohen gadol. That will apply even if the guy who's in Mitzora is the kohen gadol. So what? So if you have a kohen gadol with Saras, he's not allowed to cut his hair. Normally, a kohen gadol is required to cut his hair, but all the time. But if he has saras, not allowed. So now what do we see? V'ha kohen gadol d'kol hashana k'regel l'kul yalma dami. But we know, and this we listen to how it goes. We're going to argue, and we know that we can see that the Torah has the attitude that the kohen gadol all year long walks around like he's in a state of regel, like he's in a state of regel. Where do you see that? What does it even mean? Well, here's what it means. This none, because it says in the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onan. Makriv Onan. Ve'eno Ochel. So here's what it's saying. A regular Kohen, it says clearly in the Pasuk that if you're in Aninus, an Onan is not allowed to participate in the Karbanos. The concept of the Karbanos is Lamashka, it has to be Simcha, and you can't participate in Aninus. Aninus means that the person died that day. So it says a regular Kohen is not allowed to work the Karbanos during Aninus, but the Kohen Gadol is different. Kohen Gadol does offer the Karbanos be Aninus. If the Kohen Gadol is in Aninus, they had somebody in the family died that day, he still is eligible to bring Karbanos. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol is presumably always walking around in a state of regel. Even though he's not ochel, he's not allowed to eat the karbanos. That was what was right in the Chumash. That was the whole story in the Chumash about Aaron and the Miluim and not even Aviv dying. But the point is that a Kohen Gadol is always walking around in a state which is regel. It's an interesting concept. This concept of why is the Kohen Gadol always walking around in a state of regel is, this was a notion that Rabbi Glasser mentions a lot of times. From Rav Soloveitchik, is that the regel is always v'samachta lefnei Hashem elokecha. The whole point of aliyah l'regel is you go into Beis HaMikdash and you're lefnei Hashem. And when you're lefnei Hashem, that's a state of simcha. And so the Kohen Gadol is always lefnei Hashem. His job is to always be in the Beis HaMikdash. So he's always lefnei Hashem, and his job is always to be in the state of simcha. And if that's the case, and we're told, nevertheless, tzara'as trumps that status. So you see that the Kohen Gadol is a Mitzora means that any Yisrael Beregel will also have to observe the Tzaras rules. That's Rava's proof, and that is accepted. Shema Mina, Noheg, Tzarato Beregel, Shema Mina. So you see that a Yisrael Beregel observes the tzaras, just like the Kohen Gadol has to observe tzaras. Shema Amina. And the last line, the last rule here on the page, Avel Asher B'Tisporas. And Avel is not allowed to get haircuts. From the fact that the Chumash says that Hashem told Aaron, Ubanav, when Nadav and Avihu died, you guys, because we're celebrating, I don't want you guys to leave your hair grow long. Mechlal de kuli alma aser. If not for that unusual situation, you would have been required to keep your hair long, which is another way of saying that Avelim generally are not allowed to cut their hair. And all of the, again, this is, we haven't got any details here. We just get the basics.
Yeah, sure.